Okay, so the Gemara in the middle of the Gemara and Sugya had discussed that the Bnei Rabbi Chiya tied their tzitzit, and the Gemara had said, well, maybe they don't have to, but they just did. Right? So the Gemara had said, right, maybe, right, in their case, it was kosher because even though it ripped, they had knots on every stage, they didn't have to. And at the top of Lama Tzad, the Gemara says, but what you learn from here, the fact that it would only be kosher if there was a knot, right, if there was a knot at some point, you learn that at least one knot is daraisa, right? Shema mina, kasher elyon, daraisa. That the, whatever that means, the upper knot, is biblical. And the Gemara says, how do I know? Because if you thought that the top knot was not Doraisa, or this is the top of Lama Tess and Aleph, and literally the top line, my Itzrach Lamishra said in B'tzitzit, because if it weren't the case, so as we'll see, the Gemara says that there's a special heter of Kilayim in Tzitzis, but the Halacha in general is biblical Kilayim. When do you violate biblical Kilayim? Only if the...
This is wool. If it's tied together,
if you woven together or tied together, or right, so that's why, right, this is, it's important to understand this because people get this totally wrong, right? The Gemara says that if you discover that your clothes are kilayim d'araisa, so what do you have to do?
Take them off.
What if you're in the middle of Times Square?
Doesn't matter.
Take them off, right? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's your shirt. Doesn't matter if it's your pants. Doesn't matter if it's your underwear. It really doesn't matter, right? Elamai.
If you're...
Elamai.
Wait, what?
Yes. That's what the Gemara says. If you would like, we can do that. So, yeah, right, actually...
There are other problems with doing
even
that.
Even if it causes you to expose your airman?
Yep. Doesn't matter.
What?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That makes no sense.
Yes, it does. And if you want, we can do that, so yeah. I mean, but not this minute. However, that's only by Kilayim Daraisa, because the halacha is that Gadol Kovet Abriyot, which Chazal understand, and this, if you remember this from Lamed Chet, Lamed Zayin Lamed Chet, if you remember the Gemara there, we didn't go into it, but we did read it when we were doing that sugya, that Chazal interpret it as being about Lotasur, right? That it's not really a biblical law. Rabbinic law can be overridden by Kavod Abriyot, by human dignity. Now, the... most of the time, when you have your clothes checked for kilayim, it's being checked for kilayim derabanan, because 99% of the times you have kilayim in your clothes, it's the stuffing, right? Like
it's not even woven together.
Correct, and therefore it's kilayim derabanan, and therefore if it was found, would you have to take it off in public?
No,
because
it depends
what it is, but like.
If it's your pants.
Right, I mean, if your pants, no. If your it's your jacket, no. Right, maybe you take it off anyway. It's just not embarrassing.
If it's cold, then. If it would
leave I'm thinking like your suit jacket. Or you're getting too cold. It's tsar the same. But I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Leibowitz where he said he got this shaila that a woman was talking to someone else in shul. And she saw her dress and said, oh, very nice dress. Where did you get it? And she told her where she got it. And he said, oh, I actually got that same dress. And I had checked, and this dress, all dresses like this, are kilayim. Now, a dress is a problem, right? You take it off.
Yes.
But they asked him what to do. And the answer was, it was only kilayim derabanan.
If it was woven together.
It wasn't woven together. That's not where it was. Wherever it was, in the collar, I don't know what it was. Somewhere in it. It's in the stuffing, whatever. It's often usually where it is, in the hem, whatever.
Usually half of it's like one...
Or whatever it is, but it's not usually woven together. Exactly what that means is it machlokas? Is it exactly what does that mean? Again, the exact parameters that we don't have to get into, but the point is that for biblical things, it needs to be attached. If it's not attached,
right.
it's not kilayim.
This little string here.
Okay, again, the exact parameters, not for now, it's very complicated. But the Gemara says that you wouldn't, if tzitzis didn't have to be tied at all, so then you just have the strings hanging through a hole in your clothes, but it's just like, that's not shatnas daraisa. For sure not shatnas daraisa. So therefore you would need no pasuk to tell you that it's mutter, because it's not usher to begin with, right? Just putting it in. And therefore we know...
The difference between not being mutter and
No, Daraisa is completely mutter. No, Daraisa is mutter. And if you're talking about a pasuk, correct, but you're talking about a pasuk. Remember, we have a pasuk that says Gilaim Daraisa.
Well, we have some Jerubanans based off of the pasuk as well.
Those aren't really based on pasuk, those are just machlas, right?
Fine.
But a real pasuk, meaning it's a biblical heter that you're allowed to wear Gilaim Betzitzis, you wouldn't need that if...
if it was different.
If they weren't attached. So the Gemara says...
it's not really pasuk that says you can have them together.
No, but that's a chazal.
Smicha.
Doesn't matter. Meaning the point is that it's the chazal understand this as a biblical rule. That the Torah needs to go out of its way to tell you that it's mutter. Which means that had it not been mutter, right, it would have been that thing which is usher and therefore requires a heter. Again, not explicit pasuk, that's not the point. The point is that it's biblical. So therefore the Gemara says, you learn that at least that first knot is d'oraisa. So the Gemara is pshita, isn't that obvious? Tokif tchiyav chaz ina chibur, el shmami no, d'oraisa.
So the first knot in this seems to be the one closer to the
right, and therefore, and a single tchiva also doesn't, right, is not enough, right? A single
loop.
Thank you.
So when it's saying first knot, it means this one.
That is the sugya. Okay.
I mean, from this, it kind of seems like.
Stop!
Sorry!
Okay, so what is this Kesher Elyon? So you're going to tell me that the simplest understanding is.
Like
is that which attaches it to the Begin?
Right?
Why do you assume it's that which attaches to the Begin?
It says tied. If it's not even tied. Like, they didn't even tie it, so.
Right, so you assume that, look, so that, okay, they're linguistic. So again, we should be clear. In this sugya, there's both linguistic questions and halachic questions. So you need to answer it both. Why would you say that Kesher Elyon means the one closest to the Beged? Linguistically, and then tell me halachically. Linguistically, and then halachically. Linguistically, why would you say that?
What do you mean?
The word, why would you think that the word Elyon
is the top knot?
Because the top knot when?
When it's hanging down.
When you're wearing it. When you're wearing it.
Right?
The Kesher Elyon is that which is closer to the Begad.
By the words. Okay.
Right?
Halachically,
you'd say, well, the Gemara seems to say that the knot we're talking about is that which attaches to the Begad and never makes Kilayim a problem.
So
most likely it's that knot which connects it to the Begad, right? That is indeed how many we've shown him understand it. So if you look at.
And also it makes sense. From a London's perspective, because otherwise this wouldn't be a shiloh. Because the whole point is that it's tied onto the
again,
Begad, and that's what makes
good,
it.
That's, so that's, that's what. So that's
but
what.
But if it's not the one that's tying it to the Begad, then if the Kesher Elyon is some other knot, not that first knot, then it would. It wouldn't be.
Good, so
it
wouldn't. Okay, that's what Nachum said.
Right
now, so but let's look at Rashi. So Rashi is very unclear. Rashi says Kesher Elyon, Hainu Namiyahu Kesher Lamata Halachal Moshe Misinai Klomar Kesher Echa Betzis Miyadaraisa. The knot below is Halachal Moshe Misinai, meaning one knot. Ulahaki Acha Nachat Elyon Mishum Diilo Avid Elachad. And therefore, if you only put one knot at the end, which keeps it, it would be Daraisa. So which knot does Rashi think it is?
The bottom.
So it's not 100% clear, but it sounds like the bottom one. If you want it to be clear, look at Tosfos. Right? Rashi here, because all the words there could be read differently. Sofo, right? End is ambiguous. It could be which end? The end closes the big end, the other end, right? It's very hard to figure out what he wants.
End meaning you started with one first.
So, yeah, that's probably what it means, but you could have gone the other way. But you're right; that's the postures, and that's what Tosus says. So you look at Tosus at the top. Tosus says Kesher Elyon Bekundres Perish Ne Perushim Echad Achar Gdil V'Nikra Shmo Elyon Kmo L'Malah Min Ha'Atara. So he said Rashi seems to think that it means right now. Rashi in different places contradicts him. He says at least one of the interpretations of Rashi is the one farthest from the Beged.
Okay.
Now, again, we have to answer two questions. First, let's answer the linguistic question. What would that mean?
The last.
Linguistic question. How could he hold that that is Elyon? So, the Mordechai just says, well, maybe when you're making the tzitzis, right, that's the Elyon, right? Fine. He says, Elyon in certain places in Shas means that which is far, that which is at the extremity. Right? What's his example? Did you get this? Did you bother looking it up? No. So, come on, guys. The Gemara in Nida, in your Gimel and Beis, is talking about the prohibition of what?
I didn't get that far.
The first source, I'm glad.
Well,
It's the second line in Tosfos. Tosfos says, where linguistically, do you see that the word Elyon might not be top? It might mean the one at the extremity. So he says, the Gemara Nida. So what's the Gemara Nida talking about? Gemara Nida is talking about the prohibition of masturbation. And in that context, the Gemara has prohibitions on putting your hand on the tip of that part of your body when you go to the bathroom, because it might lead to shechlat zera. And the Gemara calls it the mala min ha'atara.
Wait, what?
If you touch the part which is above the crown, right, which is the tip.
So it's kind of using the same word.
And therefore, Tosfot says, you see that the word limala, now that part of your body, if you know your own your own anatomy, is farther up or farther down?
Farther
down.
Down, thank you. The tip of that part of your body is farther down than the rest of it.
I'm sorry, I missed
thank you.
Yes.
Right.
So great that we're getting this on recording.
This is the Gemara. I hope this is clear. I don't, you know. And he says, the malam in ha'atara, the Gemara calls that part of the body above the crown. The eye above. Above doesn't mean above. Above means
the tip.
It just means the extreme, right? It's the extremity. Right? So he says, and therefore he said, that's why Rashi thinks the Kesher Elyon literally, like linguistically, can mean the furthest from the Beged. Just like that's the furthest part of the Aver. Okay?
So he's not saying the Mala means closer to...
No, the Mala means the farthest.
Not like height-wise, like this would be...
Correct. He's saying, how does Rashi get to the notion that Lamala... Right, how does he get to the possibility that Lamala means Limala?
From Nida.
Right?
From Nida.
Right, from the notion that Lamala might mean the extreme. Right, the extreme. Okay. I assume, see, if you didn't look at the Gemara Nida, you would not expect that that's where Tosfot was going to bring the proof of Rashi from.
That's interesting.
But how does that work then with the Gemara?
Wait.
That's what.
Just to further this out.
But like I said, there's two questions. One is the linguistic. One is the linguistic question, one is the halakhic question.
That's what makes the tzitzis kosher to the
end. Okay, one second. Good. So, v'zeino mochach, al demia b'inan. Kesher. Said that's one place, but Rashi elsewhere says it is not that one. It's
the one closest.
The one closest to Beged. Abo Kesher she'achar agdil kevin shirachum and adalit mishuma ulo avikilayim. But he says elsewhere he says it's the one closest to the Beged, and that makes sense because the one farther away has nothing to do with Kilayim. The one that attaches to the Beged has to do with the Kilayim. Right? So there's the halachic question here. There's the halachic justification. There's the linguistic. Now, okay, before we solve these problems, again, we just have to lay out the issues here. Where does Rashi say this? So, if you look for a moment on the sheet, Sanhedrin, good. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells you that Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Ushia, Enochayev, so the context is, what's the context of the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Prohibition of Shanabet guys who did this last year on, I think, Shavuos. Zokin Mamre? Was that Shavuos or was that Mega Mishmar?
I feel like that was a Mega Mishmar.
It's basically the same thing.
Mega Mishmar, fine.
It's basically the same thing.
No, it's not. No, it's more guys stay up for your Mega Mishmar than Shavuos.
Shavuos, they're dying. Okay. This is the morning share, not the night share. This is the morning share after Vasikos.
Yeah, no, sweet. Shavuos here. Guys talk like...
Not for now. You can tell me to explain later. Anyways, so in that context, the Gemara says you only violate, right? Person can only be a Zokin Mamre if he rules on something, which is Ikaro Midivrei Torah, Pirusho Midivrei Sofrim, that it's biblical with rabbinic interpretation. Okay, that's the context. So the Gemara says, "Amri lozim Rav Yosheh Nochayv al Davashi Yikar Midivrei Torah Peir Shem Midivrei Sofrim V'Yesh Bo Lo Sivim Osiv Goreya," and that you add to it in such a way that it makes it less, meaning you add it numerically, but that challenges the integrity of the object, and therefore halachically is goreya. Right? Halachically makes it less meaningful. So what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara says, "Ikat tzitzit." The Gemara is in the middle going through examples. And in that context, it says, what about tzitzit? Dikaro midivrei Torah, pirsho midivrei sofrim. It's biblical with rabbinic interpretation. V'yesh lo lahosif. And it's a case in which you could physically add v'im hosif goreya.
So that's
it. And if you add, it would be subtracting because it would be, right? It would be making it not tzitzis, right? You're supposed to have four strings, eight strings, right? Now, we're going to see, by the way, just hold this. We're going to come back to the sugya, because once we get to Bishamai Vishillel and Mem Aleph, of whether you need four or three, or six or eight, we're going to see that this, how to understand this Gemara is very complicated, and this was part of the Tosos that we skipped on Lamed Chet, the possibility that you actually are allowed to add strings, so we're going to come back to that. So for now, don't get too caught up in that. So the Gemara said, well, what would it mean to add in such a way that it would challenge the integrity of the tzitzit? So the Gemara says it's only possible if kesher elyon daraisa. Why? Because if you don't have to tie the tzitzit, then adding an extra string would do nothing. Because if it's not attached, then it's just like an extra string hanging out. It's not integrated into the tzitzit. What makes it integrated into the tzitzit such that by adding you have changed the integrity is only if it's attached.
So it seems...
Right? Because think about it. If you had strings that are not attached, so you have four, that's what you need. You have fifth, so it's just extra. It's like, it'll fall off.
Right.
But if you tie it, so now you've created an entity.
So it's...
Which is one of five, and you're not supposed to have five.
Right.
So the Gemara says, by the fact that there's a possibility by tzitzit, that you could add, thereby challenging integrity, or in the Gemara's language, kol hamosif goreya, right? If you add, it's really subtracting, right? Because you're adding numerically, but you're making the integrity, you're compromising the integrity of the tzitzit. That's only true if you tied it. Because now you've created a problematic object.
So the only way to tie it.
So good. So the Gemara says, "Betzid my sfirlan, it's sfirlan the kesher elyon lav daraisa lechudekai v'lechudekai." Because if you didn't hold it, you had to tie it. So then the fact that you added a fifth string is irrelevant, because the fifth string stands alone, right? You don't. There's nothing forcing you to look at it as a new integrated unit of five. The only thing that makes you look at an integrated unit of five is if it's tied. V'sfirlan the kesher elyon daraisa goreya v'omeid, and that's why if you tie it, you hold it. You have to tie it. So it is lacking. So in that context, Rashi said, "Shosin samuch leknaf." What's the kesher elyon?
The one closer.
The one closer to the beckon. And that's where Tosus is quoting. And Tosus just notes that this question is a machloket in our Gemara, right? Sorry. Rashi says it's a machlokes, right? And Tosu said there's no machlokes, right? That's all he says, right? Peter goes a plukte berengat cheles velasa alamaskin nasim shrami nakesh elyon daraisa. Now that's an interesting question. What I want to get into is that Tosu assumes that the Gemara unequivocally assumes kesher elyon daraisa. Rashi assumes that this was actually part of the machlokes here on Lamed Chet, right? That these are two dead. Either way, the maskana is kesher elyon daraisa, right? Seemingly. But that is the two main possibilities. Okay. So now, let's continue. Those are the two main possibilities, just what it means, top or bottom. Now, we've explained the literary point, which is, linguistically, how could you say Elyon means top? It means top. How can you see Elyon means closest to the Beged? Easy, it means the top when worn. How do you say Elyon is the extreme? So either Tosva, which is Elyon just means extreme, or Mordechai, which is maybe it means top when you're making it, right? Because when you're wearing it, the one closest is the one to the Beged. When you're making it, Lav Dafka, right? When you're making it,
I mean,
not necessarily. That's something, not Lav Dafka. You could imagine that I'm making it like this. Okay, fine, whatever. Okay, whatever it is. That's not our big problem. The big problem is the halachic problem.
Right?
It's the halachic problem. That Rashi somehow says that kesher elyon daraisa is the furthest mon from the beged. And Tosafot says, mapidam, the issue of kesher elyon is that which attaches to the beged. That's why the relevant halachic sugya for it, according to the Gemara, is kilayim. Right? Is does this or does not attach it for kilayim? And in Sanhedrin, does it or not integrate it for the purposes of... There we go. So now continue in Tosfos. Tosfos in Lamed Tet, right back in Menachot. He says, "V'tema v'hai demucha chechi masik b'yevamo demanded lo darish muchem v'hecha demucha demar b'shem lomili dikilayim." Let's hold that for a second. Okay. Now look at the Shittim Megubetzet. Okay, look at the Shittim Megubetzet. So Tosfot said, what's the proof of Rava? It's simply that it's Kilayim, and Kilayim therefore needs to be attached. But if you look at Shittim Megubetzet, he says a little bit differently. He says, Lefum Riyata Mashma. See the Shittim Megubetzet?
Yes.
Mashman itzrich smuchen lemishrei tzadin betitid. Right, the simplest read is that you needed a pasuk to permit kilayim betitzis. Right, that's how Tosfos understands it. Now, which Gemara is this? Gavi is right. So look at the Gemara here in Yavama Daf Dalet, right on the sheet. Vesulo taase great minalam dedochi. So the Gemara there is talking about the general principle of ase dochelo taase, the notion that a positive mitzvah overrides a negative. Again, the parameters of that are very complicated. Maybe we'll get into it, maybe we won't. Depends whether you guys are interested. It's a very, very long sugya. It's one of the longest sugyas in Shas in terms of individual pericopes. It's 5 plot, straight in Yavama. It's very, very complicated. The logic for it, parenthetically, the Ramban argues the logic is that ases represent Ahava, Avad Hashem, and Los ases represent Yira, and Ava trumps Yira, which sounds like a nice word. Anyways, so the Gemara in that context says, how do you know that an asay, that a positive mitzvah overrides a negative one? Now, technically, that's not a negative commandment. There is an English word for that. Right? We always say positive and negative commandments. That's sort of, I mean, it's true, except really, the English is prohibition. Right? Sometimes we forget there are English words for these things, but fine, that commandments override prohibitions, fine. So the Gemara says, "Lo tilbash shatneis gedilim taaselach, the gedilim taaselach." Omer Rabbi Lazar, "Smuchim and adar minayin, shneimar smuchim la'adolam asim be'emet v'yeshar." Because "Lo tilbash shatneis and gedilim taaselach" are juxtaposed. Lazar says, "How do we know that smuchim is a value?" In quote this pasuk in Tehillim. Okay. Now, why, by the way, does Rashi think that Kesher Elyon is a machlokas? So Rashi thinks Kesher Elyon is a machlokas. Do you already get it from this Gemara? Because the Gemara says that according to who is Tchelet Docha, is Sitzes Docha Kilayim, only if you paskin Smuchen, which is a machloket, whether we darshan Smuchen, right? That whether we expound based on the juxtaposition of two halachot. Which means that the question of whether Kilayim is Zochet Tzitzis is a machlokas. What does Rashi then derive from that? That if there's a machlokas about Kilayim Tzitzis, then maybe Kesher Elyon is a machlokas. Right? That's where Rashi gets the notion that Tosfos rejects that Kesher Elyon
is a machlokas.
Right, that Kesher Elyon is a machlokas. What? I mean, Gemara in Yavamot said that Asa Dochalos is a Betzitzit. How do you know? Because that Shita holds that Dorish Smuchen, that if two halachot are juxtaposed in the Torah, we can derive laws from it. Okay. But that's Machloket, whether Dorish Smuchen, whether there's halachic significance to the juxtaposition of laws. Which means the question of whether Kilayim Betzitzis is actually Doche depends on whether you learn halachos from Smuchen. But since that's a Machlokes, whether that principle, that exegetical principle works, so Rashi says, oh, the question of whether Kilayim Betzitzis is actually Doche is a machloket. And Kesher Elyon, the Gemara says, the reason you know Kesher Elyon Doreisa, so otherwise you wouldn't need a pasuk to be Matir Kilayim. But that means that according to the Shita that we are not Doris Smuchen, and therefore you can't wear Kilayim Betzitzis, doesn't need to hold Kesher Elyon Doreisa. Because he doesn't think it's Mutter, so why does it need to be attached? Maybe it doesn't need to be attached. So that's how Rashi gets to this possibility of a machloket. Okay, so with that in mind, now we can look at Tosfos and the Shem Gubetzet, but let's start with the Shem Gubetzet. Bikashim perakama diyavamot, dikamar tamuda halam alismuch, mitan rebe shmal, nafkidam rebe shmal, kamak mishin abrigadim, amarachmar avid le tchilet imrehu, umayka omar la olam eim lochad, ilav smuchen hava mina ainsiz doche kilayim. Right, so the Gemara there, it sounds like that if it weren't for smuchen, it would have thought that sitzes are not doche kilayim. And therefore you would have thought that maybe if Kilayim is not Doche Tzitzis, then when we say you put tchela, and tchela is always wool, so then how would you put wool tchela on a linen beged? By not tying it. Right? You just put it in. And you would put it in with a single loop, which is not a knot. Right? A single loop, which is not a lot, or single, right? In general, in halacha, you're only chayev when you have a double. Right? A double.
I thought that doesn't apply if it's the same string, though.
Well, it depends, but we'll get to that in a second, right? The Shabbos issue, but for the moment, right? But this is not the same string. It's in the baguette, so it's not tight. Right?
Okay, fine.
Right? Right? The reason that a knot at the end of a string might be kosher d'oraisa is because it's tight. Right? As opposed to normally where you need a double knot to make it tight. But when you have a, right? But if you have just a loop in a tzitzit, it's not tight. Etc. So, what's the problem? Is that according to this, do you need kilayim? Not necessarily. Sorry, is kilayim necessarily docha? Not necessarily. And if it's not, then how do you know that you need kesher elyon? So Tosfos, if you look at Tosfos has a different drasha. Look at his V.H. Lomar. We're going to go back and forth a little bit between Shigumetz and Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? V.H. Lomar. The He said you misunderstood the drasha. The drasha isn't really about kilayim. You know what the drasha is? Simply from the word gedil. Because what does the word gedil mean?
String.
Like braided string. That's how it's understanding. You need a good braid. And that requires a knot. So Tosfos says, you know how you get out of saying that this is a machlokes? Right, Rashi thinks it's a machlokes because he thinks it hangs fully on the kilayim question, which is a machlokes. How does Tosfos deal with it? Tosfos says, no, the real reason you need kesher elyon because tzitzis are defined as a gdil, and without a knot, what do you have? You don't have a good, solid thing.
All that could be saying is that each string has to be woven. Like the string is two strings that are wound
correct
together.
You could get out of it, and that's why in his inami he says inami sugi dasam asi kamandem gdil dafka v'shem dasam asi kamandem gdil upsil p'tuk demarai v'samach. So alternatively this really is subject to a machlokes and fine. So look, then you continue in the shitin gubet. So he says miu kasha mori hari So he says, no. You misunderstood it. He said, you know why it's not a machlokes? Not everybody agrees to smuchen. But there are other drasha that on daf mem of why kilayim is docha tzitzis, meaning the Gemara in Yevamot is introducing smuchen. But there are other reasons. There are other drasha. So why is Rashi so convinced that the reason we know kesher elyon d'oraisa is kilayim? Because there are many possible drashot of kilayim b'tzitzis, right? Tzadim b'tzitzis, but b'tzam v'chayven, b'kesher elyon lav d'oraisa, b'shin doesn't chayv d'chivas chibor. And therefore, that's what how he understands it. Okay, but fundamentally, right, the two ways of understanding what's going on here is that it's some version of the kilayim one. Alternatively, there is this added thing that maybe it's directly from the fact that you need it to be defined as a gedil. You need it to be a quality, knotted tzitzis. Okay. Now the Chacham Sofer is the one who made this point. right, that is Pligi Tanoi, etc. Okay, fine. So I want to do two things. Okay. This is not a huge sugya. Conceptually, right? Leaving aside the kilayim issue for a moment, right? Conceptually, what is the difference, right? Why, conceptually, what does it mean to say Kesher Elyon is the top knot, or Kesher Elyon is the...
Well, when it comes to the strings being cut off.
What does it mean? What drives it? What is it?
What makes a talus kosher as possible?
Why did I not bring it again? You want to grab me the rough book? You know where it is.
Which book?
The Rav's book. Now, I will point out, there is a little bit... now, while waiting for him, what would you think would happen? Now, if you, by the way, if you didn't hold Kesher Elyon D'Oraisa, so then what would you think you would hold? Right? If you hold not Kesher Elyon D'Oraisa, so then what do you hold? So what does your tzitzis look like?
String going through the...
It means that...
According to Tosos, what does it mean?
It's not knotted.
Right, so according to Tosos, it sounds like if you hold the Kesher Elyon Lav D'Oraisa, that means that it's just a bunch of strings going through a hole and hanging out, right? That's how Tosos understands it. Right, what does it mean according to Rashi?
It's tied, just not the last star.
Correct, right? According to Rashi, it sounds like... Everyone agrees that it's tied to the beged. The only question is, do you need a second knot at the end of the string? But presumably, there is a knot at the beginning that ties it to. It's just, the question is, everyone agrees that that's the case. The only question is, do you need another knot by the end of the string? Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yosef, does that make sense?
Can you repeat the last part of it?
No, can you repeat that last part of it?
No,
come on. Come on. It wasn't complicated. Come on. You're basic. Come on. Right? So, the simplest read, Nachum, right? If you hold the Kesher Elyon Lav D'Oraisa, so according to Tosa, what does that look like? Your tzitzis look like?
D'Oraisa?
Yeah, if you held Lav D'Oraisa, so what would that look like? Your string's just hanging loose. Tosa's. According to Rashi, what would it look like?
Fully tied up to the last.
Correct. It'd be tied. And then a bunch of twists, and there doesn't need to be a knot at the end.
Right.
But presumably there is a knot.
You still have the knots going up.
Correct. Now Rabbeinu David is not sure of this. I didn't give it to you, but the Ran quotes Rabbeinu David in that Sugya in Sanhedrin. He says, "V'lav lememrit isfir lo nekesher on lav d'oraisa lo bin nekesher klal." You can't say that what it means is that if you don't have kesher elyon, that you don't need a tie at all. Why is he convinced that that can't be what it means? Dim kain gedil eichim eshkachat la, because tzitzis are defined as gedil, which is this braided, knotted thing. So it can be that anyone has even a hava amina.
So it has to be the last though.
So ella kedra samach lebeged vaday daraisu. Well, kedra la gedil letzara tzitzis u'dmesapulani avay daraisu lo. And that's why Rabbeinu David reads the Gemara like who?
Rashi,
right? He said, what's another conceptual reason to argue on Tosfot?
Because then they're not considered braided.
Right, meaning that the definition is gdil, and Tosfos said that if you didn't all catch your Elyon D'Oraisa, you could imagine the tzitzit is just hanging. Rabbeinu David said, Mahapitom, you could never imagine that that'd be true. Right? That can't be the machlokas. How do I know the machlokas is about the final knot? Right, the farthest knot? Because it can be the knot closest to the beged, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but tzitzit is... Deal.
Right?
What?
Tzitzis
are not
defined
as braided things.
Yes, they are. Gedil. Gedil. Gedil means knotted and braided. Gedilim taselacha. That's what the Pasuk in Kidei says. He says, yes, it is defined that way.
But each string is braided.
No, the tzitzit as a unit are braided. Gedilim taselacha. So he says, okay. So now he says, let's defend Rashi. So we had a problem. If you hold that the Kesher Elyon is the bottom knot, so how do you defend Rashi? Why is it that this hangs on the Kilayim question? So what's the answer? Right, so he says it's very simple. Because in general, in Hilchos Shabbos, how many knots do you need for something to be considered Daraisa?
Two.
A double knot. So he says, how does Rashi read the sugya? Just shot?
One knot.
No, the first knot everyone agrees is there because that's what attaches to the beged. The machloket is that you need the discussion about the second knot. In a hanami, it's not two knots in a row. The reason that the second knot is what creates kilayim is because you have knot, twists, no. And the bottom you have a knot, and it's that second knot which makes it a problem for kilayim. So that's double knot. That's how Rashi reads the sugya.
Wait, so he's according to this, it doesn't even seem like it's this knot. It seems like it's this knot.
No, it's the second knot. Wherever the second knot happens to be. No. Remember. Nachum. Remember what we have. What sugya we haven't done yet? How you're supposed to tie tzitzis. You look at your tzitzis and you say, oh, my tzitzis obviously look like this. No, it's the second knot. After the twists. Right? However that looks.
But there could be many different things.
It's the second one. That's it, the second one. If you right?
Second one where? Like, it could be this one, it could be this one.
No, the second one. You don't need all of them. Everyone agrees you don't need it. No.
One? From where? From this
The one after the twists.
So after the first twist.
No. No, nobody holds that those are Daraisa. The question is, what's the Daraisa?
I'm trying to understand what...
No. No one holds that all the knots you have in your tzitzis is Daraisa.
Right.
Rabbeinu David says what Rashi means is the second knot, meaning the one, there's knot, twists,
right.
A knot.
Right.
That's where the Daraisa ends. You can have multiple knots after that. But the Daraisa ends at the second knot, which is halachically the farthest significant
so
one.
So Daraisa you only need up till here.
According to Tosfos, you only need here, the first knot. According to Rashi, no! You need zero twists.
Oh, you just need... Tosfos just said you just need it through the Vegas.
Kesher Elyon Daraisa. In terms of Charin,
says here.
Rashi says the knot that's Daraisa is the one after the twist. Again, we have... ours have multiple knots. We're going to do that either tomorrow or the day after that.
Based off of this, I would just need right up to there.
We'll see.
We don't even need this.
You need the second knot, Daraisa. After the first set of twists, yes. Yeah. However you get to that, fine. But we'll see what...
I'm saying based on these tzitzis.
Okay, fine. Good. So Rabbeinu David said, how does Rashi defend his position? We've defended him linguistically. How do we defend him halachically? He says it's very simple. If the way you know it is because of kilayim, and kilayim requires a double knot, who says it's a double knot right together? It's two knots. Not a double knot, it's two knots.
No, but it's the second knot after the
two. Correct. It's not. We don't mean a double knot, we mean two knots. And therefore the second knot, which is the extreme knot, is what makes it kilayim, because the first one is only a single knot. And that's how he solves the problem of... Yes. And he says, V'avagavdu kesher samach ha-begir d'oraisa. He says, L'mei ra'i l'chul d'kai, etc. And he says, and that, right, adik eshtei chilos val zeh amar, yisak adek ter rabbanan. Ma'ezrach ma'al mishri kilayim. But since then, he said, that's the logic, right? That's how you defend Rashi. Right, that's how you defend Rashi.
That's the second knot after this twist.
Correct, because that's where kilayim is going to kick in.
So you...
And he says, now he doesn't like it. One second, he doesn't like it. He says, "Below your atul sof dato, I don't like it." D'israel adai kesher el yonah samach lebegir d'oraisa. Yesh bo shnei ksharim zechar zeh k'mo shanu nogin. O kesher lechod v'even in shnei ksharim tishi agdil imkein kesher el yonah d'oraisa vei. Shemach yitzchak malam mishri kalim v'tzizit. D'israel adai kesher el yonah d'oraisa no kesher echad lechod. Vayin tivachas al mishum dechziv gdil v'in kesher echad k'mo tivachas lesser d'gdil or samar nevis uchulios v'kesher lechod. He has a bunch of problems with it, and he says, first of all, Rashi's not talking about a double knot, he's talking about a second knot. Presumably, right, the Ran disagrees with Rabbeinu David because he says, what will make it attached? Not a double, not two knots, but
one.
A double knot. No, a double knot, not two knots. Right, Rabbeinu David is Mechadesh, so what you need is two knots. He says, Mapitom, two knots. What makes it permanent is not two separate knots.
So that's what he's saying Rashi is saying?
No, this is why the Ran doesn't like Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David follows Rashi. Rabbeinu David follows Rashi. It's the second knot, and the reason that Kilayim hangs on this Kesher Elyon is because that's when you have two knots. The Ran says, I don't understand how you can possibly say that, because the minhag is that on the first knot, what do you put?
Two.
A double knot.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I mean.
Right? You put a double knot at the beginning. It doesn't mean two knots. What makes it permanent? Not two knots, a double knot.
Two knots after the twist.
No. The Ran says, no. No, the Ran says. I don't like Rabbeinu David. Because Rabbeinu David says what makes it d'oraisa is two knots. He's wrong. What makes it d'oraisa is
the double knot.
A double knot. And where is that double knot? Where is that double knot? The one closest. Please don't say first. The one closest to the beged.
He's saying you don't need a twist.
The twist are not makev. Everyone agrees with that.
Wait, but I thought we just said d'oraisa, you need the twist.
No! D'oraisa, according to Rashi, you need the second knot, meaning the one that's later on the twist, practically. Right. Right? But you don't. But if you didn't have the twist, you'd be yotze. The only thing you need is...
Whoa. How are we changing d'oraisa? We just said d'oraisa.
We didn't change it.
We just said d'oraisa means...
No. No, we didn't. We said that according to Rashi, d'oraisa, you need the second knot, which is realistically the one comes after it's a twist. Let's say you didn't twist and you cut and you actually made a double knot. According to Rashi, it's probably fine also. Right?
So what does the pasuk mean by... Whoa. We just said...
Tosfos thinks Kesher Elyon is the one closest to...
The beg.
The beg. Right? So and so again, we have two... Let's summarize what we have so far. First, linguistic problem. Okay, this is the easy one. Tosfos thinks Kesher Elyon means... Closest to Begin. Why is that Elyon? Because it's the closest when you wear it.
Right.
The Rashi thinks it's the farthest one.
Well, yes.
Either because Elyon can mean the extreme, or because when you make it, however you want to defend it. Then there's the halachic question, right? One is this a machlokes? Well, the Gemara says it hangs on kilayim. Rashi says the kilayim thing is a machlokes. It's a machlokes.
Right?
Tosus doesn't like it, and the way Shidim Lubetzit says is, why doesn't he like it? Because there is no machlokes. There's only machlokes whether you derive it from Suchen. Right? But not a machlokes bechlal. Okay, good. Next question. How does, according to Tosfos, how do we prove the Kesher Elyon d'oraisa from the fact that you need to permit kilayim betzitzis? Because you need to attach it, and you put a knot at the beginning. The Ram says, what type of knot is that? A double knot. Well, by knot, we mean that which attaches it to the beged, which can be a double knot.
Yeah.
Right, but that's what we mean. Good. Rabbeinu David says, how do you defend Rashi? Because remember, Rashi thinks that it's the farthest knot. But how could it be the farthest knot? What does that have to do with kilayim? Rabbeinu David's answer is that it's not a double knot, you need two knots. Right? And that means it could theoretically d'oraisa be a double knot, or it could be not chuliot. Not. The point is, once you have two knots, that's when it's considered attached.
I'm confused, because d'oraisa, you don't need the chuliot, or you do?
No. We're going to see the chuliot, but no. D'oraisa, it's not ma'akev.
You just need the knot.
You need the knot.
Or double.
You need the Kesher Elyon. That's what you need, d'oraisa.
Okay,
everything besides Kesher Elyon, all the chuliot are only...
Durable.
Are, or maybe there's a value d'oraisa, but they're not ma'akev. Right?
Whoa.
We haven't done it yet. That's the next sugya. That's literally the next sugya.
Fine.
The Gemara goes on. But the next Gemara is that. Okay? But that's Rabbeinu David. Now, the Ron doesn't like it because the Ron says the issue isn't double knot. The issue is double knot, not
second.
Two knots. Yeah. Right? Mapita.
It's a lot
right?
of knots.
Right? When someone ties his shoes.
When
someone ties his shoes and chops, it's not a double knot.
And he says, besides, you know that it has to be a double knot. It can't be that the first knot is a single knot because. It's called a gedil. What does a gedil require?
A second knot.
Braiding, wrapping. If you have a double knot, wait. The Ron says if you have a double knot, then at least can it be called a gedil?
No.
Yes.
What?
Because one that is a double knot, it has more than one thing going on. So at least the basic minimum, is that a gedil? He says yes. But one knot is not a gedil. That's how he understands it. That's how he understands it. He says a gedil means braided, which means at least two knots. Because once you have two knots, you at least have some sort of texture.
D'oraisa, gedil means you need...
A braid of sorts, which he says is sufficient if you have a double knot.
You don't need a braid of sorts.
No, we did not say that.
I'm so confused right here.
No, he says that the double knot, the Kesher Elyon, biblically is enough to count it as a gedil. You don't need the wraps. Yeah, it counts as the braid wrapping. All the other, how many wraps you need is not d'oraisa. The fact that you need it wrapped at some point is d'oraisa. But according to the Ron, when
so
is that point?
The knot counts as
the double knot is what counts.
As a gedil.
Correct. That's the minimum for it to be defined as a gedil.
So
the minimum. Again, we're going to see that tomorrow.
So we interpret it fine. Actually, because gedil doesn't necessarily mean wrapping. Like we interpret it, it could mean a knot is considered a wrapping.
Good.
Whoa.
Okay. That is just the basic shot of this machlokas. Now, what time is it?
12:09.
Okay, I thought I'd do this in one. So here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, what's left is the conceptual question, right? We've just described the Kesher Elyon. The last thing, and this is very short, is, so tomorrow this is what I want to do. I want to say, conceptually, right, explain what is the purpose of the Kesher Elyon. Right, what is it conceptually? We're almost there, but just flesh it out tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay? Then I give you a little bit of psak, just to see how we paskin, right? Hopefully we'll spend no more than 20 minutes on this. Mm-hmm. And then continue in the Gemara tomorrow. Take the Gemara all the way from here to Amud Beis to like 8 lines down on Amud Beis, on the Tez Amud Beis, where the Gemara actually discusses how do you wrap, because obviously you have to wrap, how much of it is wrapped. If you want to look at the halacha, it's very complicated. So what I'm trying to do is, I have a guide from Tchelet where they basically have every possible shita spelled out. So they make an important point, I'll just make it for you now, is that most shitot in the Rishonim, they'll like make comments here and there, but they won't spell out ad hasof how they think you're supposed to tie it. Like, you have to like construct it. So what they do is they have this guide of about 10 different ones, which are pictures. I'm trying to get it printed in color. If I can't find something printed in color, I'm going to have to send it to you on your phones.
You don't need tefillah. You want to do halacha with tefillah.
The Gemara is talking about tefillah. So if you want to understand what the Gemara is telling you...
I thought we were just going to do like how many... Like,
the Gemara is talking about tefillah.
I know.
So therefore, if you want to understand what the Gemara is talking about,
I
you need
you
to...
I wanted to just do the halacha of just how many...
The halacha of it is with tefillah, because that's what the Gemara is talking about. Our tzitzit is just a pale reflection of that, and what you do in a world without tefillah is very complicated.
That's what I was saying. I thought you wanted to do halacha
so
ma'isa.
We are doing halacha ma'isa. So what I want to do two things. I want to do... This is how we're going to have to do it. First, we're going to have to do the ideal, which is, if you have tchelet, how do you tie? And you'll see there's like 10 different positions, right? And then you'll understand what's going on. Then, if you would like, we can say, well, how did we get, what did we do when you don't have tchelet? Right? How do you tie and why do you do that? If you want, I would say, just open a Shulchan Aruch, the Siman Yud Aleph, and read it, because there are endless number of positions. There's like, even within just the white, there's like 20 different permutations. So just go in Mishnah Berura, Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berura, and read as much of it as you can. And you'll get an idea of what we're doing. But fundamentally, I want to show you this guide, because I figured it's just not worth going through every single Rishon, every single Gaon, and showing you exactly how you understand it. The principles all come from this Gemara, so I want you to understand the tensions, right? How would you get to each one, right, etc. So tomorrow, try to figure out the conceptual issue of Kesher Elyon, and start the Gemara on tying it again. I want you to get to Lama Tesef Beis, and we'll spend tomorrow and maybe Sunday, if we don't finish it, because I'd like to finish this before we go on break for Hanukkah, so I just want to be done with it. So Sunday? But we have Yeshiva on Monday. Still, I want to finish this place.
What is happening Monday?
Maybe Mesibah. Yeah, it's something like Mesibah.
At night.
Yeah.
So
I don't know exactly the story
no
this morning.
Night stinger, I believe, or more.
Correct. Yeah, right. But for sheer purposes, we have. We'll see. Look, if we get, I want to make sure we get through the tying.
Right.
Once we get through the tying, if you want to do a Hanukkah sugya, then we could do a Hanukkah sugya, then and take a break, or we could do, or we could continue, or we could do the Mea Brachot sugya, which is sort of standalone, and we can jump to that if you want to do it, or whatever you want to do. But I want to at least get through the tying because, like, at least want to be close on a point where, like, so, okay, that's what we're doing tomorrow, okay? So think about Kesher Elyon, read through the Gemara on tying. If you have a chance to read through the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Yud Aleph, it's great. If I can't find someone with a color printer, I'm going to send you this 3-page guide with in color, this way you can see the blue and the white, how they alternate, and things like that, okay?